Welcome, friends, to the Someone Gets Me podcast. I am your host, Diane Allen, and I am so delighted that you're here. This podcast was created because I believe there is a visionary leader inside each one of us who is waiting to be seen. In each episode of Someone Gets Me, you will hear useful tips from successful visionaries who will share their stories about how being seen has allowed them to take their vision out into the world with action.
Hi, friends. It's Diane here, and we have an exciting guest with us today, somebody who I met recently at, of all places, a really cool metaphysical store with a coffee shop, and she made me the best latte I've had ever. But when you start to talk to somebody and you know there's more to them than just making coffee, even though that's a really cool thing, I started learning about Debbie, and she is amazing. And so our guest today is Debbie Roche. She is a chiropractor and an acupuncture person, and she's an intuitive healer, and she studies so many things that it's amazing. So what I think is cool is that she is a geeky type person, well-educated with a ton of degrees, and she's an intuitive healer person. And so she can be woo-woo and nerdy all at the same time, which I just think is the coolest trip ever. And she makes really good coffee. So it's like a home run where you run into this great person in these awesome places. Another thing cool about Dr. Debbie is that she's writing a really amazing book that's going to come out soon. And I'm really excited about it. She has transcended amazing challenges in her life where she has come out on the other side with a vengeance, and she's bringing amazing practices and information with her. So how amazing is that? So what I want all of us to do now is remember that as we listen to my new friend, Dr. Debbie Roche, we will hear amazing content. So listen to what she has to say and connect with her so that you too can be touched by her exceptional intuitive ability. Welcome to the show, Dr. Debbie.
Hi, it's so nice to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh,
how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and you are so welcome. I'm so glad you're here today. And I would like to start with giving you an opportunity to tell us a little bit about your story, a little bit about how it is that you were drawn to all of these amazing healing modalities. What started the whole thing anyway?
I grew up and my mom was really sick for my whole life. And so I grew up with this kind of this intense yearning to help heal, especially my mother, but just the universe at large. And so I did the traditional route school. I was super nerdy. I was all into my books for my entire life. Did the heavy sciences for my undergrad. I got a triple undergraduate degree at Eckerd College, and one was biochemistry. And then, couldn't quite figure out the medical route because I had an uncle who was really into nutritional biochemistry. And I saw what amazing things he did in his practice and how these people healed. And so I was kind of influenced to pursue this, this amazing cell adventure. And so ever since I was very young, I would study cells and health books and whatnot. And then in my late 20s, or it was probably, mid-20s, late 20s, I struggled with horrible depression and I could not function. I could barely study. I could barely do anything. Went to a whole lot of people for help and, for 10 years and very little really happened during that journey in terms of really getting me out of the depression. And I decided, well, since I knew biochemistry well enough, that I would really start seeking my own answers. And what happened is that I lost everything at the end of my late 20s, got into a really bad relationship and lost all my houses and just hit this bottom that I never saw coming. And I ended up at Wings Bookstore and I started volunteering. And so that's, 13 years later, I'm still volunteering there because of just the amazing resources I found and where it was exposed to. So in that journey of being in that community, I was really exposed to the world of metaphysics and energy medicine and intuitive development and all these amazing things. And as I, came out of, my own struggle and found myself and, found my new self kind of in adulthood, tools were always the things that I turned to. And so I ended up in chiropractic school, and halfway through I had two brain injuries from two accidents. And then I still didn't know what to do, so I went to Wings Bookstore, you know, day after day, and had to pull out of school, and had some really unique experiences, and knew that there was much, you know, much greater than what my books were telling me. And so through, you know, the severe depression and the brain injuries, and, you know, my overcoming my own sexual trauma as a kid, and stuff like that, it has, you know, my healing route really has been the foundation of, you know, certainly the nutrition and, you know, certain neurology principles and things. But if I were to say what really pulled me out, it was the metaphysical tools. And so now that, you know, I, you know, am a doctor now, I offer both. And what's interesting is that my intuitive ability, especially during brain injuries and after, exponentially enhanced. And so, the healing programs that I offer people now kind of have that that extra precision, because that kicks in and guides me even more precisely.
Wow, that is amazing. As I'm sitting here listening to you, and I'm sitting here hearing about, you know, your mom being really sick the whole time you're growing up, but you coming into this life with this fascination of cells and how it all works. And that was like the intuitive foreshadowing of how now, many years later, after this grand journey of injury and depression and everything, you have become an expert in being able to help people with their cells and their nutrition, and you're using your metaphysics and intuition with it. That is an amazing, like, if I look at it, I'm just sitting here and all I can see is like this timeline and going, well, the soul came in with that. And of course we had to go through all these things. And now look, even though humanly it doesn't feel like that. I mean, 10 years of being severely depressed and all the traditional things not working, that's a long time to feel depressed.
Long. Yes. You know? And I remember I was actually, you know, ironically writing about this in the last chapter I'm working on for my book. I remember the terror of, you know, walking into all these medical offices and health professionals and having them tell me that there was nothing I could do, that here's the treatment that they're going to give me, you know, that's the only option, and you can do nothing to help yourself. And I heard that time after time after time again, and how the terror of saying, like, you know, to be in a state where you're not, you know, that your mind is not working like everybody else. And when you go through that system, you know, in America, there's such humiliation, and there's such, it's not a pleasant experience, and you're disregarded by what you say and what you do. And it's, so I take that as kind of my motivation, not only to, you know, commit to my own research on these principles that really saved me and brought me back to life, but also to remember what it's like to experience that from the person seeking help, and always have great compassion. And also, that's the driving force to my passion, because I know what the Western medicine path to anything brain related actually is. And I'm so grateful that I was guided, whether that be intuitive or other, to some amazing research and amazing scientific principles first, but also just the way out of that, because it was 10 years. 10 years of my life is a long time.
It's such a long time. Such a long time.
And I think, you know, had I known the principles that I do now, what would I have done with that 10 years? And so, you know, as I write this book and you know, I've been trying to write this book for like 5 or 6 years, and I'm just rounding the end, you know, I'm just like, okay, I just need to like birth this project. I'm so grateful to have the principles now and the science to really back them up, because I knew sitting in those chairs in front of those people all those years that something was being missed. And I would ask them little biochemistry questions, because I knew biochemistry enough even back then to kind of, you know, check kind of what thought angles they were doing. And every single time they couldn't answer my questions on simple biochemistry stuff. And so I thought, I really need to dig a little bit deeper myself. And thank God I did, because I would never have been able to, you know, go through chiropractic school and finish my exams and just go through that rigor and be out there, you know, doing my thing. But you mentioned cells, and I want to just touch briefly on that. I fell in love with cells because when I was looking at them under the microscope, you know, I saw the energy and the currency of what held cells, and it was God to me. So as a little kid, I saw cells as this magic of the universe. And so now that's the same joy energy that I take into my work, is the healing work and connecting with people and kind of helping them lead to their own path of healing, is because of that energy of the currency of the universe and the cells. So that's my love.
Oh, I have goosebumps. That is amazing. Thanks. And I was just going back to when I was like in third grade or fourth grade, and they let you look at like skin cells and things under the little microscope. And I remember thinking how cool they looked. And you were thinking how cool exponentially they looked, and the whole different and more amazing like connection to it. That I love that. I just think that's amazing. I'm so glad you shared that story. Yeah, I love it.
Oh, thanks.
So what I want to talk a little bit about is, obviously you have a lot of education and a lot of understanding in a lot of different areas, from your life experience and also your formal education. And so one of the things I would like, if you could kind of clear it up for the listeners, because not everybody necessarily is on the same understanding as we have, I'd like you to kind of speak a little bit to the difference between traditional allopathic Western medicine and functional medicine and intuitive medicine. Like, give a little bit of an example if you can, so somebody can understand what you're talking about, and what is functional medicine and how is that different than the traditional things? And then of course you do intuitive healing. And so where does that fit into all of this? Like, from a standpoint of this is the way it is.
Sure. So if we see healing on a continuum, right, we have physical body on our side, and then we have the energetics of the body and kind of the universe on the other side. So if we look at, you know, kind of my path with my education, my undergraduate degrees were all in biochemistry, which involved also anatomy. I also have an undergraduate degree in psychology and health promotion. So we have the base of the hardcore sciences, and I was taking like physical chemistry and industrial chemistry, hard stuff. And so my foundation really was research. I did, you know, scientific research with my professors and computational molecular modeling and a lot of other things that were extremely cell and molecularly based. And since we are, you know, physical structures, we all are made of cells, our bones and our, you know, neurologic, you know, our neurons and everything. Like, we are really cell based and, you know, with different constituents like minerals and vitamins and things, but we are physical. Our bodies are physical. But then if you think a little bit beyond that, what really creates the cells that creates our bodies? And that's an energetic matrix. Okay, so I went from cells, which I loved for God my whole life, and then I went into the next realm of my education was a master's degree in human nutrition. So once again, studying the body, I'm studying kind of a little bit dietetics, I'm studying about, you know, imbalances in the body and whatnot. So that's still very physically based. And then I go to chiropractic school, and the school that was in my hometown was National University, which was an extremely Western medicine philosophy school and very sports medicine. So the school that I went to literally is the most like Western medicine kind of mindset school in the nation. They're known for that. It's extremely rigorous, extremely research-based. And there, you know, there is a place for research, but if you look at like evidence-based medicine, only one prong of that is the printed research. You have patient expectation, and then you have clinician experience. And when I went out there and I started really, you know, shadowing people and, you know, started to see some gaps in this Western medicine philosophy around the body, I saw people using, you know, energy medicine principles and muscle testing that used, you know, the frequency vials, which basically that principle is that your brain has the electrical ability to sense certain frequencies close to your body. And there's a precision to those frequencies, and you can figure out kind of exactly what's wrong really fast without going into the expensive testing. So because I am so science-based, and I love that stuff. I think it's extremely useful and it's extremely precise. I also have that scientific base. And so after my master's in nutrition, I decided to dive more into the more biochemically based functional medicine. So functional medicine is looking at the whole person, both wellness, both diet, both, you know, nutrient deficiencies and whatever. And they're using very different types of precise testing. And so a lot of times when you go to the regular doc, you're going to, you know, do a you know, blood panel, usually CBC with differential, maybe your analysis, which are all basic tests. But when you really look into what's, you know, the reference ranges, the reference ranges that are often listed are not going to pick up things until they're extremely advanced. And, you know, so you have this window of like functional illness where people are feeling really crummy and they go for testing and the testing says, hey, you know, your blood work looks fine, but you know, you feel crummy. And unfortunately, Western medicine doesn't do a good job with women's health, especially on adrenals and hormone, like hormone imbalances, especially female hormone imbalances, and the after effects of metabolic syndrome and inflammation. And so many people are walking around with high levels of inflammation in their bodies, and this, and it's not, it hasn't eaten away enough at the body yet for it to be recognized. So they're going to the doc, and the doc's saying, oh, your blood work looks great, but there's all kinds of damage going on at the subclinical level. So functional medicine has the precise testing to show you number-wise, if that's what you need in terms of your, you know, your philosophy around health, to show you where the imbalances are so that they can be corrected. With the metaphysical type approach, if your belief system, you know, if you do believe that it, you know, that's your philosophy, the muscle testing can pick it up, maybe not in exact reference ranges for you to see it. But with the precise muscle testing that I use, I can figure out what system's off, what the approach is, and whatnot. Then I possibly will redirect people to more in-depth testing if it's needed for the protocol. And so the next realm of this, which is kind of my favorite, is the more metaphysical intuitive realm. And so I'm a big believer that all imbalance, both physical, you know, oftentimes our physical imbalances or our dis-ease is an emotional issue. You know, certainly I have walked through some trauma in my life early on and some hard stuff. And most of the people that I work with have too. And so what happens is that it gets stuck in our bodies, whether it be our neurological circuits of our brain being slightly imbalanced or signaling differently, or emotional energy can get lodged in our bodies. And so there are ways with different types of energetic techniques, often created by other chiropractors or people that are really advanced in energy medicine. There are ways to access it and then remove it. Okay, so there's magnetic therapies, there's therapies involving meridians and acupuncture points. But the one thing that I think that I do that's very unique in terms of bringing in the intuitive component to it is that one of my specialties is helping people identify what the emotion is, teaching them how to balance their brain from a wellness perspective and to ground their physical bodies and to increase the vibration of their cells and their bodies so they can release the lodged emotional energy out of them. Because what I often see is that people will come to see me and they're struggling with an issue that they've had for a very, very long time. And so the principles of metaphysics are basically we're all vibrating at a certain frequency, including our cells. And so what happens is that lower vibration energy gets stuck in the cellular matrix unless you choose to do certain things to increase the vibration so that it will finally release it. And so oftentimes, you know, if people follow my recommendations, is that they'll go through a period of grieving or a period of letting the energy out of them. And so the intuitive ability really helps to enter the space of where the hurt is. Oftentimes, it will be a certain moment where I'll sometimes intuitively see it and bring it up. And then the person will go, oh yeah, that happened. And that's the right time. And because we often block those traumatic moments mentally. Also in the intuitive work, you know, since I have so much experience with the emotional healing process, I'm holding space for the person. And I know both from my own experience, but also in terms of the intuitive guidance, what precise tool I can give them for them to kind of carry, put in their toolbox to take home with them to apply to their lives and continue working on this kind of wellness walk to emotional empowerment. And so it's kind of, I'm pulling in all these different things, but what happens is that each program is individually designed for the person and what they're struggling with. So it's like, it seems vast, But with the way that I do it, you know, I know kind of exactly what 5 or 7 tools that they need to work on first and the timing of that and kind of their progress through it, if that makes sense.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. And I'm sitting here thinking how custom and personal and unique your plan, the way you would help somebody with each different person because of the way it goes down. And I'm thinking about, because you did it with me, right? I got to experience your work. And part of our conversation was, you know, you said, oh, come on and let me show you what I do before the podcast interview. And I'm like, okay, I will try anything that I believe is healthy and good. And so I had no idea what I was in for, but I thought it'd be fun. And I experienced what you were just saying from like a conversation about what my body is. And I have a lot of stress in my life and we all have stuff going on. And I'm like, oh, I just name a few things. But as you started muscle testing, you saw things that I could relate to being true, but I didn't think of to say one way or the other. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. And then as we kept going into the more metaphysical, spiritual, intuitive things, it all made perfect sense. Yet, if somebody was to say, Diane, what are the issues or what do you want to work on or what do you want to do? I would never have mentioned those because they've just always been around, so they're really not an issue. Mm-hmm. When they really were part of the bigger picture. And so I've been doing everything you've said to do. Like you took 8 pages of notes or something, and I came home and I read all of them, and I have followed every single direction on them because I'm good at following directions, and I have done that. And then you made a comment kind of on the side, I can't wait to see how you feel in a few days, or you'll feel great in a few days or whatever. And today, which is because it's been a little over a week, I actually woke up before my alarm ready to go, which is the first time I have done that, awake, ready to go, aligned and with it in a long time. So I'm like, this is really cool. I knew for certain that all of this was a really cool divine thing that I got to meet you, and I knew it was going to work. I was not a skeptic on that level at all, but I was very curious about how the way you saw it would work, because it was not traditional in the sense of, you know, well, do these couple things. It was what you said to do were all this constellation of things, like between essential oils and all these different things. And I've done them all. And I'm going to continue to do that. So because I follow directions, I can see the results that came through you in these 3 separate different things. So it's a very unique skill set, and it's a very unique outcome. I'm sitting here as I'm talking, thinking about the younger you in the traditional people's office and the terror of they're not going to understand. They don't know what to do. It's not going to work. And all of that. And then here you are now with, you don't have to live depressed. That's what I want to say to all of you out there. You don't have to live like that. And I'm getting goosebumps. And I work with some people who have been fooled into thinking you're just stuck. Once you get depressed like that, you're just going to stay like that forever. It's the best it gets. And that's not true. And you don't have to live like that. So if you're out there and you're depressed or you're really having a hard time with things, you know, Dr. Debbie does work with people virtually, and it would be worth contacting her through the links on the show notes, because maybe she has some insight for you. Just saying, that might happen. But I know that my experience with you trying out your cool thing, I'm like, wow, I really like this. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. I loved your gung-ho-ness when you came. You were so excited and ready to go and so like ready to take action. And I thought that was so wonderful, you know, because a lot of people just kind of don't jump in like you. So I was so excited to work with you. And I'm so happy to hear. I knew it took about a week. I thought, and it's wonderful to hear, you know, the response, because I knew that it was going to shift, you know. So.
Oh. Yep. Well, I have been on this healing journey now for over 30 years, 35, 40 years of all different kinds of things. And I pretty much tried almost anything that I think would be a benefit. And even some things I had no idea what it was. Like I got Rolfed, and I thought all I read about Rolfing, which for those of you who don't know, is a form of really deep myofascial work on the body. It's a form of massage, but it's allegedly very painful. Fortunately, the person I worked with, it wasn't that painful, but all I read was that you would grow a half an inch. And I thought maybe I could break 5 feet because I'm only 4'11". So I thought if I got rolled, I could be 5 feet. Literally, that's what I was thinking. And so I sign up for this hour and a half times 10 weeks or 10 sessions, which was a weekend, 2 weeks apart, to try to grow to be 5 feet. I didn't quite make 5 feet. I made 4'11¾". But I didn't know it was going to change how I walk and align my feet and fix the way I breathed and took care of all these other things that I had no idea were getting torqued out of shape. And so I did it to think I was going to get taller. And the result was an amazing amount of body healing. And then that Rolfer turned me on to some other energy healing things that then freed me of internal things that I didn't even know existed at the time, because we're talking 25 years ago. Wow. And it's amazing how it all works together. So I got a couple other questions that are a little bit more just human stuff. When you have somebody that you're working with and you notice that they're stuck in an overthinking pattern, or maybe you get stuck in overthinking, what are some things you might suggest to somebody who is an overthinker to help them like kind of break free of that cycle so they can, you know, get onto whatever it is they're trying to understand or do or whatever?
I am a big believer in if you're overthinking, then you do whatever it takes to get into your body. And so I do a lot of research, especially lately, on brain signaling and balancing that signaling. And so if I'm overthinking too much, or if I see somebody overthinking too much, then I know that part of the brain is over signaling. And so there are a couple of easy things that people could do to balance out that signaling. And so one is exercising, especially outside near vegetation where there's extra oxygen. And so there's a lot of research on developing new neurons through exercise. And that's one of the ways that we can kind of make sure that our brain kind of stays balanced and active. And so like if people are overthinking, my first thing is to get outside for half an hour and do something aerobic where you're moving or balancing, because there's also studies on coordination activities and the brain and how that helps the same kind of thing. So getting into your body. The next kind of tool I would use, if it was me or somebody coming to me, is journaling. So if I'm overthinking, there's a lot of scratches in my brain. And so what happens is that I will spend, you know, a few minutes just getting them all out, right? So there's a great spiritual exercise. I think it's called Morning Pages in the book, The Artist's Way. And so that whole thing was you spend, you know, 30 minutes a day writing, and then the first is just getting out the scraggles. Because I always find that if I do that, then intuitively I can connect to the message that's either deep within me or outside of us, depending on your belief system. Then I can kind of see what the next step is or what I'm really trying to figure out with all the overprocessing, whether it be fear or whatever it might be. So that's another tool I would use. Also hydrating the brain, because when the brain isn't hydrated, it signals differently, which can activate that overthinking. Also sometimes adrenal stuff can cause that. So that's a whole different subject. But I would definitely recommend getting into the body. And even if it's just a few minutes of stretching, a few minutes of yoga posing or whatever. So,
yeah, I you know, all the research points to and has for a long time that exercise is the number one thing to help. But one of the things you just said just really got my attention. And it's true. And I just never thought of that. Exercising outside near vegetation because it's more oxygenated there. And that, yeah, I mean, because I love exercising out in nature. I have this big oak tree in my backyard, and I have plants all over my house. And I notice when I go into places that don't have plants or I'm not around vegetation, I feel the difference. So that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. That's cool.
Also, when you're outside near vegetation, there's often a scent of pine or whatever you're around, and that also can help balance the signaling too. So So there's different little things that I've kind of discovered along the way, like helps that balancing thing, because that has a huge impact on a lot of things.
So that's why when I go, when I smell pine, like if I go someplace and they've cut down pine trees or the sap is there or whatever, or I'm in a pine forest here in Florida, we have the pine flats. Mm-hmm. I instantly feel calmer. Like I feel different when mm-hmm. I start breathing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. All right. I like doing this interview. Mm-hmm. I'm getting all kinds of cool information. I hope you guys are enjoying it as much as I am.
Yay.
Right. Okay. So how about overwhelm? When people just get so overwhelmed that they get frozen, you know, like maybe from fear or or just too much coming at them too fast, kind of like, you know, life is a fire hose in their mm-hmm. face, and they're just paralyzed in overwhelm.
Sure.
What are some ways to help somebody, you know, come out of that a little bit and kind of, you know, not be so overwhelmed?
So there's a couple of things that have helped me. I have some PTSD from my past trauma. And so dealing with triggers, when we go into a moment of fight or flight state where we feel that kind of that moment of, that's an actual brain state, right? And so there are ways that we can help our brain get back to balance. And so I was actually just listening to another doctor talking about this last night on YouTube. But oftentimes there is an area of the brain that's underactive, which is usually the left frontal lobe. And so there's a couple easy things that can help it get back to balance. When I get into that overstressed state, I'll often put a little essential oil on right in my nostril at the bottom, and that helps to balance that signaling. A few 30 seconds to a minute even of deep breathing where you're raising your belly and focusing on that movement. Also yoga poses will help balance that thing again. Let's see what else. Shifting your eyes back and forth will help because that integrates the hemispheres. So if I'm like in a professional setting or a situation where I can't kind of get out and escape from it, I'll go to the bathroom and I'll just spend 2 minutes in there, and I'll be, laterally shifting, doing my deep breathing, putting on my essential oil, and I'll also do tapping. So there's EFT, acupuncture points, that you can add to that. And if that's not working, you can hum. And so that activates the vagus nerve, and you can kind of shift your body away from that sympathetic overdrive to a normal state brain-wise. Because it really, when you get triggered like that, it's kind of the situation is hijacking your brain. And so there are ways to kind of get yourself more grounded. Also, I have a go-to brain balancing kind of music that I listen to that always helps ground me. It's on my YouTube channel under the playlist, I think, Brain Relaxation Music. There are two tracks there that I often use. And those are usually my go-tos when I'm feeling that moment of, yeah. So.
Wow, that's a lot of really cool resources. And a lot of them, other people who I've interviewed have not shared. So I'm really, really grateful that you shared that. And I will put a link to Dr. Debbie's YouTube channel in the show notes for you, so you can check her YouTube channel out. I've been there already because, of course, I had to go check it out because I'm curious. And there's all kinds of fascinating things on her YouTube channel. So I'll make sure that link is in the show notes for you as well, so that you can go explore and find all the neat things that she has put there for us. So another question is, what do you like to do to have a good time, to have fun?
So I'm really nerdy, as we've talked about before. So I get, I love cat videos. I do little nerdy stuff, but like if I'm going out with friends, I love to dance. I love to have coffee with new friends or old friends and connect. Like I'm a little bit more of an introvert than an extrovert. So heart-based connection is important to me. I love to sing and play on my guitar. I love to spend, you know, time with my nieces. And I'm really connected to kind of kid energy in my heart. So I do a lot with them and create elaborate holiday things and games. And anyway, big, long holiday weekends for them. But I actually really love my work, and I get excited. My love and passion that I have for my work is really tied into my idea of fun. And I spend a lot of time looking for good books and good information because I love to create with the knowledge that I find. I was a high school teacher for 12 years and science teacher. And there's that love of really educating people to empower them. And so I'm in the process right now working or learning the technology skills to create a video course after my book is finished. But I get excited about my science principles too. And that's fun for me. And I go and I seek the information and kind of like to create with what I find. So I should probably have more fun. I should work on fun more in some ways, but that's what
I'm just reflecting. I just did an interview with Kenny Loggins just the other day, and part of our conversation was about work a little bit. One of the things he said was almost exactly what you said, and that is following the fun. And that when we're following the fun, then we might be working, but we're not working in that traditional kind of bring us down sense. It's an enlivening and a bringing us up sense. And so both of you made the similar comment of following the fun. And I think that's a real sign of somebody who's living their aligned purpose, that I think when we're aligned and we're connected in that way, it is fun. Like everything I do is fun. I mean, I was just on a call with somebody and they're like, you're always doing something. And I'm like, well, yes, actually I am, because it's fun. And
it's fun.
I love doing it. And I love my podcast. Mm-hmm. I love my clients. I love teaching. I love the retreats I do. I love quilting. I love sailing. I love it all. And so it's all fun. I follow the fun, whatever I feel like doing. And so my answer always is yes, I'm having fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. I understand totally.
So what is your favorite food that you like to eat?
Wow, that's hard. I like avocados and Brussels sprouts. Actually, as a kid, I always loved Brussels sprouts. And so I have this love of Brussels sprouts, avocados, my favorite food. I love Thai food. I wish I could cook it a little better. And what else? Wow, favorite foods. I always loved this too. So yeah, like I always loved vegetation. I'm very sensitive energetically. So when I would go to like produce stands, I would feel the energy, the vibration of the fresh food. And so I always was kind of drawn to it. So my favorite foods are kind of boring, but yeah, like Brussels sprouts, I guess, would be my number one. I know, right?
I love it. I think that's cool because you can feel it. It's like food doesn't come in a box. I think that's great. I love that. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I want to talk a little bit about your availability for consulting with somebody if they're interested in hearing, mm-hmm. Hearing more from you or learning from you, or maybe even having you do some work with them. Do you work with people remotely? Like if somebody is not here in St. Petersburg, Florida, where we are, and they would like to work with you, will you work with them remotely?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I can do it through Skype or FaceTime or any other video messaging, or even on the phone, but it's usually more efficient if I can see them.
Right. Okay. So any kind of video way to do it, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And so we will put the way to reach Dr. Debbie in the show notes so that you can contact her, because you might want to do that, especially if you're depressed or if you have this chronic kind of thing that's been going on and everyone else is telling you, that's just the way it is. Or the one I love is, well, you're just getting older, or it's in your genes, or any of those things. I suggest you take the time and invest in a consult with Dr. Debbie. She will help open your eyes because of the way she's educated and the way she is connected. With all of the experience and work I have, I can tell you my time with her was unique and eye-opening. You might want to just give her a call or email or something, but I'll put all that in the show notes for you so you can do that. So as we get ready to wrap up the show, you have a book coming out soon. And when the book is out, we will put the link in the show notes. Do we have an official title of the book yet?
I do, but I'm not going to share it until the book's in my hand. So okay. I will talk about it a lot more when it's actually complete. So
that means that if I invite you back for a second episode to talk about the book, will you come back?
Oh, I would love to. That would be wonderful. Thank you so much for wanting me back.
Okay. So the one last thing before we sign off for the day is there anything residual that you would like to share with all of us before we end the show? Anything on your heart you would like to say to all of us?
Yes. To anybody out there that's struggling, whether it be, through some trauma you've walked through or some emotion, or just in terms of embracing a life of joy, there are so many tools, both wellness and energy and other, that really can be used to help you step into a life of vitality and joy, truly. And so I hope to, be an educator of that and to help you find those tools. And if anybody ever has a question, I'm always a teacher at heart. Please feel free to reach out to me, and I'm always happy to answer any questions.
Oh, that is awesome. And so you don't have to live in a state where you're feeling awful. And there are ways and there are options. There's always an option. So whatever you do, don't give up on the search. So I want to thank you, Dr. Debbie, for coming on the show today and sharing your enthusiasm for cells, your wisdom, all of the information. You have given us so much information that I will be hearing this podcast more than once to collect it all into my brain. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so nice to have met you and to have connected with you. And I look forward to more time with you in the future.
Oh, that'd be great. So remember, everybody, keep your face to the sun so the shadows fall behind you, because you're here on purpose. The world really needs your gifts. So until the next episode, remember to take that leap of faith and trust yourself and be well. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening. I trust you gained some valuable inspiration and information. Please join me and other visionaries in the Someone Gets Me Facebook group. Or for more information on my services and additional episodes, visit someonegetsme.com. Again, thanks for listening.